Blog Talk Radio.
Yep, Blog Talk Radio. Ready to go live? Let's go live. Facebook. There we go. Welcome to the program. And program.
Hey.
So, yeah, I got a couple of things to show real quick before we get started. Welcome to the Heather White Show or the American Allegiance Show, brought to you by PNR, Student Up at the Border. There it is, PNR, Patriot Nation Radio, Patriot Nation Radio. Thank you, all the fans who support us on Blog Talk. We have a lot of followers. Pretty cool. You go all over the world, different places. But for right now, I got to share this stuff with you. First and foremost, you want to present something. I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to look at that. Okay, there it is. Can anybody see that? My first grandchild was born. Yeah, 2 days ago. So this is all fresh and new, and it's a whole new feeling. You know, it's different. So it's a different world now. So we're going to start this out because we're going to talk about a little bit about Fannie Willis and her trouble she has in Georgia. Looks like the hunter got punted on this one. And it's not anything political. It's about you got to do the right thing, right? You can't just willy-nilly anything. You can't. So you think you're never going to get caught, but with money. So I got a little clip here I'm going to share real quick. Here we go. We're going to share the screen again. We're going to go to a different tab, and here we go.
$4,000. But I can give it all to him. Remember, I only gave him $2,500.
you to have. But what I'm saying is I made money wherever I was paid. So I was not supposed to say I had money wherever I was paid. Yes, I had. I have money.
So when you move to the year of the during the time period of all of that's where you
when I stay there, yes.
That's all I can think. All right, I want to see if we can figure out if you want to go to Temple if possible.
All right. Stop and share here. I'm going to shut this down here. So, my question to you, there we go, we're back. My question to you is this. How much cash, $40,000, right? Can you hear me?
Yes.
$4,000, oh, sorry about that. $4,000, just like, just playing around. And why is she paying for it if it's a trip for them together? That's my question. So what's your thoughts? I mean, if I go on a trip, I'm on, you know, the guy usually, not being sexist, but the guy usually pays for the date. Why did he pay for it up front and then she paid it? What's going on there? I know what is happening. I think that this is the key about it. So you probably know a little bit.
Tell me if this is the wrong word. Collusion in the sense of this seemed like a one-on-one or date type of opportunity, and I don't think you should mix business with pleasure.
I agree.
Never a good combination. And in this case, I think it was. I don't know. Would it be?
I think she wanted him to pay. Anything. That's my opinion. I think what she wanted to do was have this totally free because I believe the money she used is from, you know, the office. I think it was campaign funds. She mentioned that. I think she hung herself like that. It's just like...
She did.
Yeah, she actually mentioned that. I kept pushing my campaign money laying around, which is illegal. I know.
That's
of course it is. but when you're at that level and you're the district attorney, guess what? No, but when you're the DA of Fulton County, Georgia, you are a demigod. So you can do whatever you want and nobody's going to catch you because you're the box. You're the box of all the attorneys in town. I think that's what happened. I think that's, you know, sometimes you think you're invincible. Nobody's going to get you. But I think in this case, because she mentioned that, you know, I think she's done. I think she's toast.
There's accountability coming. Different way, different format.
Right.
I know that, you know, when we make decisions, there's a pain they come.
You're right. Yeah.
What I find.
Uh-oh. Looks like we lost our guest here. Oh, there we go. Coming back. There we go. On stage. What happened?
Yeah. So what's
the thought?
Like, yeah. Is someone rich? The purpose for district attorney is one of the really key roles. It's one of those things where and I mentioned this earlier in a different discussion, but it's almost like that it's not an absolute power, but power runs.
Right.
When someone has where they're unaccountable, with there, and the concept that comes to mind is that there's you're going to pay for your actions,
right?
In some way, shape, or form, especially as a public servant, and you know, it's yes, no. If you think you're above the law, one or something is going to give way to what was done wrong, and it'll show up publicly for public good.
So you're saying you reap what you sow, and I think that's the case here.
There's a about the person.
That's right, exactly. So okay.
And there's some other questions.
Well, yeah, you're fine. And I know you know all of them. So
that was great.
Yeah. So her father turns out to be an ex Black Panther, and he's an attorney as well. And he used the word, what was it? I can't remember what it was now. In one of the videos, somebody dredged it up. I remember. Anyway, it's a racist remark towards whites. And you can see, like, Fanny's very defensive, and there's a lot of people that are drawing it's a black and white thing, and it is not a black and white thing. It is ethics. It's violating your own rules for freedom. Just like, you know, people in Congress and the Senate, they have rules for themselves. They don't have to follow our rules unless they do something. You got to be really bad. Then you got to ask them if they want to leave. What kind of sense is that? But this right here, she dug her own grave, and I believe they caught them both and lying under oath because of the relationship. You know, this is the number one rule. You don't have relationships with people you work with, or you can. But when you're the district attorney and you have a relationship with somebody and you hire, that's a whole other level. That's like, what was she thinking? And the guy's not even, he's an ugly guy, too. That's what gets me. She could do better than that, right? She could do better than that on the Internet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So if you are making, if you're in a habit of making bad decisions, and you make bad decisions based on impulse shopper goes before and they can't refuse, then, you know, they can't go walk to the store by nothing.
Right.
The impulse drives them to pick up, you know, whether it's clothing or materials or supplements, you know, that fits their fancy. When they do that, and if a person is in that habit of doing things that are proper, and so the availability was, you know, presented the opportunity. So the opportunity wasn't based upon, what I would consider it a tragedy.
Right. Well, I think you're right. I totally agree with you. I go with you on that. Hey, Dave Weitzel just made a comment. Come on, Ken. We all got thousands of dollars just laying around the house, right? You know, I think she had a $5,000 lien on her too. So I'm going to bring on Mr. Bill Muckler here. Hey, Mr. Muckler, how you doing? War hero.
I saw your notification with the link, and I thought, hey, I haven't been on the show for a long, long time. I got to come on and say hello.
Well, hello.
Something.
Sure.
I think I've got a question. I need to go back. It's interesting.
Go right ahead. Yeah, I want to hear what you say. We have the two smartest people in the world on this program tonight. Two among the smartest.
Join the two.
Oh, you're brilliant. Smart, too. Wow. Okay.
When I was a young guy and World War II was going on, I was reading about all these places where, you know, the war was going on, especially in the Far East, you know, we heard terms like, words like Shanghai and Bombay and wondering what all that stuff was all about. Well, what we found out was kind of based on a lot of reports, and then Mother Teresa was, Calcutta was probably not the safest, most sanitary place to live.
Yeah, don't drink the water.
What's happening along our southern border? Yep. Reported any place, but I just been reading about some of this, and the more I read about it, the more I get into it. Along the southern border, the northern side of the southern border, this started in Texas, but is actually reaching all the way to San Diego, is what is known as Colonias. This is the proper Spanish pronunciation, Colonias. And they are really Calcutta-like slums where migrants just end up. So they don't have any place to go, so they start living there. Well, now, this is sort of spreading all the way from Brownsville
to Diego.
And there's obviously stretches where there are no people living there, you know, like in the Big Ten Mountains and things, or maybe some desert areas.
Yeah.
But it's estimated now that there's maybe more than 2 million people living there. And as these more than 10 million come across our border, invade our borders, like over the last few years, plus countless millions of gotaways, where are they going? Where are they living? Well, we know some of them is like 50,000 in New York City. There's some of them in places, Chicago, you know, wherever. But there's millions of them. Where are all of them? They're not, you know, they're not in small towns in Wyoming or Minnesota or whatever. A lot of them, I believe, are still stuck along the border. I think that border is spreading and increasing to a point where our country, along with us being pretty much in a decline in just about every area, economic, education, I think that's spreading to where we're going to become the United States itself.
That makes sense now. Yes, I agree. Totally agree. We're just going to change us dramatically because, I mean, just think, this is just the beginning. Add another year on, see what happens. What's going to happen?
So our purchasing power is declining. Young people can't afford houses anymore. You know, they're lucky if they can afford to rent. Credit cards, debt now. You know, that's $1 trillion a few months ago, and then all of a sudden it was $1.06 trillion. That's 1.1. Now it's like $1.2 trillion in credit card debt. And that's just like growing exponentially. So, and people say, well, you know, everything, you know, we know inflation is bad and all that. But you have to ask, how are people able to pay their bills? Whether they're paying their bills by maxing out their credit card.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
You know, it's going to be, what, maybe $1 in credit card debt? Eventually, this whole thing is going to collapse. The housing mortgage is somewhere around $5 to $6 trillion. People are going to be struggling to pay their mortgages if they can't, if their credit cards are maxed out. So where does all that happen? So what happens to all the people? We remember what happened in 2009, 2010, that whole area that was a problem. I think this could even be a lot worse. And what are these 10, 20, 30, 40 million? Where are they living and where are they going to go and how are we going to afford them? I think, you know, we're headed towards, you know.
Design collapse, probably. I mean, it has to be. I mean, why would you do something like that in your own house?
That's an okay down, though. And I agree with it because we have we have created almost a tsunami of infiltrators calling it, I like that expression, where they're calling on it, our country to steal our money. They're really just undercutting the good people who show up to work, who do their due diligence to pay their bills and accomplish that. Most people are honest, hardworking folks, and these people coming in and they get a free ride. You know, they go to a certain place and they get all the health care, they get housing, they get credit cards to go spend money. Where are they getting that money from? That's coming from the taxpayer. Where's that drive us? It drives us, described it. We're dead. We're setting ourselves up for another verse that is going to truly impact the economy in ways that could be erodes the economy in a way that drives us to being that small country, the economic power that we have been for so long now.
Yeah, it frightens me when I think about all this, and I think, well, our government is now, we have a national debt of more than $34 trillion. And it's growing exponentially also to a point where the interest on the debt is talking about it. I kind of figured this out myself and wrote about it in my book. It's going to be close to $1 trillion a year. Well, what happens if we can't make that payment on the interest and about 70% of our budget is actually based on not discretionary spending, but welfare spending? That's the best way I can put it. You know, we're paying roughly 50% of the people to live in. We live on government's assistance, welfare checks, Section 8 housing, SNAP food stamps, and there's still food stamps. I know we're supposed to call them SNAP.
yeah.
But every other kind of giveaway, think about it, we're giving all this. And now we have places like New York City is giving better cards to the because they won't eat our food. They don't like our food, right? So they're not going to eat our food, so we have to get our food they want. You know, all this is blowing my mind, and I'm thinking, if we can't pay our interest, our national debt, and we have to start borrowing more and more money, bringing more into the economy, inflation is going to skyrocket again, and who's going to be able to afford to? You know, where are we going to live? What are we going to do? How are we going to maintain the high standard of living that we have today? I think it's going to deteriorate, and I think things like this can deteriorate pretty quickly.
Do you remember the double-digit inflation we had in the 70s?
Oh yeah, the poverty index.
It was horrific. I mean,
yeah.
We're approaching the same. I remember as a kid going to the bank and seeing that, you know, do a certificate of deposit and get, you know, the really good percent return after a year. What drove that? That was driven by we're heading the same direction. Banks are throwing up their certificate of deposit. Hey, come take the certificate of deposit. We can get you, four and three quarters or 5% and higher for some IRA. So we are approaching and we're going to and reap what you sow. We Kevin and I talked about that a little bit earlier. You know, if you are going to live under debt and you continue to sow that seed there's going to be a payday someday that we're going to be in the same situation as the 2008-2010 crisis, where the economy all were paying for the instability of the financial markets in the inability of people to pay their debt. And I worked in an office that reviewed a lot of those mortgages that had been mismanaged, and it was just all kinds of terrible things, and that was just poor management on the part, and it was driven, believe it or not, that a lot of that was driven by greed by the real estate agents who didn't care if the person could, all they wanted to get was that commission from the sale, and they moved on in their life. They didn't care if that person ended up getting cancer and couldn't pay the bill, and the bank foreclosed them and kicked them out of their home. There's some terrible situations where people had lost their jobs and lost their homes, and we're living on the street, and we're heading the same direction. If we can't, you can't just keep paying the piper or paying, you know, putting everything in reverse that. You can't just keep inviting the piper in to remove the rats when necessary. At some point, you got to pay the piper, right? Remember that old story?
Yes, brilliant. I like that.
We're going to be, the piper's going to come back and say, hey, today's payday. Can you pay your debt? Yeah.
Hey, my son is like Kevin in Air Force Vet, and he was transferred out to Denver a couple years ago. So I kind of watched what's happening in Denver, and something that really caught my interest was one of the major hospitals in Denver, and I can't think of the name of it right now, kind of on the western side of Denver, actually closed up. And the reason they closed is they went bankrupt because they couldn't get reimbursed for all the services, the medical services that they paid out for the invaders that moved into the Denver. And so
thing happened to Dick.
And now, you know, I'm reading that there are other hospitals throughout the country that are suffering the same demise.
Right.
So what thing we have to add on to this? What happens is a certain amount of hospitals eventually close. People who need not elective, but, you know, need intensive care, emergency care, surgeries, cancer treatment, you know, heart attack, you know, strokes, whatever. There's not going to be any place that can take care of them. We could be setting ourselves up for another disaster. And that, you know, that's another part of what I'm thinking about, because this whole area along the southern border of the United States, these people are living in plots of land that are, you know, like postage stamp size.
Mm-hmm.
No sanitary condition, no potable water, no sewage treatment plants, anything like that. And you know, those are just like breeding grounds for all types of diseases.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hearing about a lot of the invaders. I call them invaders. I'm not supposed to.
No, It's I got you.
They're bringing a lot of diseases that are foreign to us in America, or, you know, or that we can't handle it pretty soon. I just see, you know, this is something that kind of happens exponentially. It's not something where, you know, if we have an isolated incident here or there, you know, it can be a lot worse than that. Maybe it's just an alarmist or whatever, but no.
Bill, it's the Trojan horse.
Yeah, I think so.
It's the freaking Trojan horse. We've allowed the enemy to come into our nation, and we're paying for them to come in. and we're allowing them. If in 2021, China only allowed 400 people to come into the United States. Last month, 1,000. Do you not think that China is using that to establish their little quadrants of people that when it's time to go to war, they're gonna bring war to us, and it's not gonna be over there. It's gonna be over here. It's gonna be in our backyards. It's gonna be at our base. It's gonna be anywhere they can be because we live in a free country, and they get to roam around freely.
Yeah,
we are. This is. They're not realizing. They want. I understand the concept. You have to understand the concept because some Americans feel guilty that they're rich, and so they want to help the poor people in the world. I get that, but it's like putting a one piece of sand on the moon at a time, you know, per flight. It's not you can't make it happen because the poor you will always have with you. That's a biblical principle. Not that we don't want to take care of them, not that we can't be compassionate, but we shouldn't be just handing over our taxes, our earned money, to people that haven't earned it and haven't earned their way into the country appropriately. So it really frustrates me that we are putting ourselves in financial dire straits and allowing our enemies of the state, to walk across the border unchecked, unknown, and with any possibility of ruining our country in many different ways.
You know, you're exactly right, and you're bringing up a great point. I'm so glad you brought this up because China already has declared war on the United States. We just haven't recognized it yet, or our officials won't tell us that. But they're really softening us up with killing them somewhere around 80 to 100,000 of us with fentanyl. These, and most of them are, you know, the age of those that could actually defend our country.
Yes.
This is another aspect of it. It's not a pretty picture.
Hey, Phil, you mentioned earlier about diseases. You know, there's like an outbreak of lice and other things in New York City. All the school kids are getting it. It's contagious. Never had this before. So you're right, because there's a lot of things they're not even considering. You know, there's a lot of diseases and a lot of things we don't know that aren't in this country that are coming in. So it's a dangerous situation. It's a health hazard. And then the hotels are being, you know, tore down and you know, what do you call it? Infected. There's all kinds of things going on that nobody thought about. And maybe it is Biden's mind. I don't know. Come on now. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is because if you're the Mayorkas, you're going to keep the borders shut no matter what happens.
Somebody's
sure.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Kevin,
if you think about it, we see these photos of all these tents lined up along the street.
Yes.
Where do these people go to the bathroom? I'm just kind of wondering. I'm thinking, boy, if that was me, where would I? You know, I have to get up and go to the bathroom a few times.
San Francisco style.
We hear stories about in San Francisco,
yeah,
they have a defecation map and so,
yeah,
forth with all the homeless and everything.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, you know, what good can come of this? And, you know, is it any surprise that you're bringing up this thing about lice? I mean, my gosh, the conditions don't appear to be very sanitary.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Hey, Bill, you going to Rory's show at 8 o'clock?
No, I don't think he's having a show on Thursday nights from now on.
Oh, not every night? Oh, my gosh. Well,
no, he doesn't, I don't know what he does, but he asked me to come on every Thursday night.
Okay, gotcha.
It used to be Wednesdays up until, I guess about a month or so ago, and now we do it on Thursdays. And he usually asked me, I usually go on every Thursday night with him.
Okay, yeah. Tell him I said hello. I miss you guys. And I've had a lot of parents. Anyway, yeah, just want to make sure you're on against the hard wall here. And we have with us Frances. I don't know if she wants to speak. That's our researcher for Patriot Nation Radio. Probably not. Okay. But if you do, let me know. All right, cool. Also, Bill, tell me more about your son. What does he do?
He went to work for a company, I guess this summer it'll be about 6 years, called MedSpeed, M-E-D, Speed. And they are in the business of providing logistical transportation, distribution services for the medical industry, mostly hospitals. And their clients are typically the bigger hospitals. Like I think in Denver, his biggest client is Advent. And what they do is distribute, you know, medical supplies to the various hospitals. So they'll take them, you know, to the docs. And they also are couriers for all the lab work. So they, you know, are picking up samples of blood work, you know, lab work from various doctors and clinics, you know, around the Denver area, and they bring them to the lab and so forth. So it's really kind of a complex operation whereby, you know, they're responsible for making sure that everything gets moved to the right, all the stuff gets moved to the right place at the right time and all that. And when you're, when you got, I think, around 25 vehicles and box trucks and so forth running around a metropolitan area like Denver with traffic and breakdowns and everything, it gets a little complicated. But they sent him out there for a week because they were having some serious problems there, and the client was pretty upset. And he went out there, and the regional vice president for that area liked it so much, they transferred him from Jacksonville out to Denver, and he loves it out there. They think it's great.
So I need your I want your opinion of the Fannie Willis case.
Okay. It should be the Get Trump case, because that's all this is all about, is they just want to get rid of Trump because Trump is going to, you know, is exposing and getting us all to realize how corrupt the government is and how deceitful it is. And, there's a lot of things about Trump I don't really like, but
I
really believe that he is an America First guy, and I'm an America First guy, so that means I'm for Trump. So anyway, they're trying to get, you know, the cases against Trump and all these various venues. So this guy Jack Smith has got the federal cases against him, and then what they're doing is like in Bonnie Willis, however she pronounces her name, she's the district attorney in Fulton County, which is the Atlanta area, and that's kind of like in conjunction with the one in New York City with Letitia James.
Yeah.
James, that's a civil case that they got the verdict against Trump on that. So down in Atlanta, Fulton County, if they can tie Trump up and keep him going like that, you know, eventually it's going to cost him tons of money for lawyers, attorney's fees. It's going to take a lot of his time away from campaigning. So that's really what this is all about.
Totally
what we're finding out is these district attorneys, and I don't want to be sounding like a racist or whatever, but some of these black women, They don't seem to use very good common sense. I mean, you know, if you're going to go after a guy like Trump, you ought to make sure you're squeaky clean.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Darren. Bonnie's new name. I know you kind of like had trouble, Bill, with how to pronounce it. I think it's called phony. That's what it is. That's what she's like. Okay, she's got a $5,000 lien against her, but she's got like $20,000 on her bed. What is that?
Yeah, she does cash, you know. Hey, I try to keep some cash around, usually maybe $300 or $400.
$20,000.
Unbelievable. And, you know, so where did all this money come from that she's got?
We all know. It's from her campaign and it's from the department. That's where it's from. Because remember Darren, when a whistleblower came to her and said, this guy's going to use his money for all kinds of crazy stuff, and she fired that girl. Because they were going to use it, and that's your clue right there. That's where it came from. It came from the county.
Yeah. And this guy, Nathan Wade, who I guess is her boyfriend or lover,
right,
or whatever, you hear these reports that he's been paid somewhere around $600,000, $800,000, and who knows how much, because we don't know the exact amount. Nobody knows how much except they do, and they may not even know because they're rolling in so much stuff. And what's he done? You know, he doesn't have any experience as a prosecutor.
Right.
And
he done?
Pulled out like $1,200 to meet with the White House, you know.
It's not what he's done, it's who he's done that paid him, okay? It's saying. That is crazy, 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 crazy. Who would even think, who would go to that other level? I mean, they're already past three peds. They keep going, and they wonder, and they're mad, they're angry because they got caught and defensive, and they're lying about, they've probably lied about five or six times about where the money came from, about when they met. The affair started long before she hired him. That's why she hired him.
So what did we call corrupt politicians back in the turn of the 20th century? What did we call them? When they were in like Tammany Hall, what did we call them? Where were they running?
Oh, no.
What's that?
Oh, go ahead. I'm familiar, but I had nothing coming to my mind.
Political machines that ran big cities and ran those kind of where politicians controlled they controlled all the formats of whether it was the government or the legislature or the executive office or our judicial system. When you get to this point, you've lost the balance of power that country has established. And why do we lose the balance of power? Because of corruption. And why is there corruption? Because there is no accountability.
Yeah.
And when you don't have accountability, this is the crap that happens. These are the kind of people that take over. And when you have power, power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that slogan, we've seen in history, we've seen when the politicians control the legislation and they control the judicial system and they control including the police departments, where you know people are not being held accountable. Design that ruined the Roman Empire, where it fell from within before it was conquered out. And this is the kind of stuff that if we cannot find a road to proper ethics and proper morals, not just in our own personal lives, but in the politics. Politics has become a scheme to make money.
Yeah.
It was never intended by our founding fathers to be a country where we hire our politicians. That is not what was intended. The politician, for a short time, runs government and gets out.
What's it like?
Don't run the rest of your life. Don't run politics in the part of your life.
So what is it supposed to be, 3 days in December?
Establish a corrupt system.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
No, they live in D.C. Instead of visiting D.C. for 3 days a year, they live there. They have their mansions. They get fed money. They have a lot of influence, and they're superstars in their minds. They're not servants of the people. What's your take on that, Bill?
Well, that's interesting we're bringing this up, because on my show that I do daily, this week I'm talking about term limits, and I'm trying to get people to understand how all this works. The congressmen, they even have a hierarchy of power where they live in they have various sized offices and various buildings and everything. But what they do have is they have quite a large expense account. It's called an MRA, and they can hire up to 18 staffers plus 4 interns. That's 22 people. Now, you know damn good and well, every one of these guys are going to get their 22. They're not going to sell for 7 or 8 or whatever. So who's actually doing the work for we the people? Who's representing we the people? The staffers now, the congressmen make $174,000 a year. A lot of these staffers now are making up to $210,000 a year, and just about every one of them are six-figure earners.
Wow.
I shouldn't say earners, because I don't know what they're earning, but you know, they're getting paid six figures. This is like anywhere from 2 to 4 times greater than the average American, the mean income of the average American family. And what are they doing for us? I mean, you know, why do we have this big bureaucracy, not only in the executive branch, but in the legislative branch as well?
Yes.
And then what I found out, and this is research going back 10 years ago, so I'm sure it's worse now than it was before, but what I found out was there were 102 at this time senators and representatives who had served 36 years or more, and 8 of them had served 50 years or more. Now, that's not the farmer and the shopkeeper and the mill owner that the founding fathers were talking about that would come in and serve to represent the people for a couple of years and then go back about their business.
Absolutely not. That's sentence. I met some staffers on my trip to D.C. that worked in the House. And I mean, they're nice people and everything, but, you know, that is the drain. I mean, nobody in the business world does that. Nobody anywhere else does that kind of stuff. Because you see the staffers in the meetings, and, you know, you watch the C-SPAN or whatever you watch, you'll see them there, and they're handed, that's all they do. That's pretty good money for what they do. Do they type stuff out? Do they do research? I don't know. Probably. They're that busy. They got to do that. They got to have somebody do it for them. They're that busy. Wow.
Yeah. Well, they are busy because they have to exercise their two greatest skills. Their two greatest skills are fundraising and speech making. In other words, they're very good at talking to us into giving them a lot of our money for their campaigns, because once they get in, the staffers do the work while they go out and campaign and raise money to get reelected. 2 years. Supreme Court's even worse, because the Supremes, they all got handfuls, dozens of clerks that do everything. They don't do anything.
Wow, you're breaking my heart here. I've lost it. I've lost it. Uh-oh. I'll be back.
What happened to Darren?
He dropped out. He should be back. He might have went somewhere. Yeah. So, yeah, you saw the event I went to last week in D.C. I went to it was an African-American Trailblazers event, and oh, my goodness, it was an RNC function that Ronda McDaniel was running it, and it was so well put together. I'm very impressed, and everything was good. It was fabulous. But anyway, it's like 100 of us. I got invited. It's my second year being invited there. I went this year because I had to. I just wanted to go. But you see, the security they had was pretty high. So there was congressmen there and other things. The security was insane. So they had cars parked up, police cars parked up front, and they had the lights on. This isn't a bad neighborhood. So we were safe. But you get to see, it's kind of like when the president comes to visit, security detail. It was almost the same, except it's all on the ground. And they have, like, metal detectors, and your name had to be on the list kind of thing. But it was, I wasn't expecting that. I guess I should, because, you know.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's quite an experience. Hey,
Huh?
They believed in borders at that meeting?
Yes, they did. 100%.
Hey, I got off track when you asked me about Phony Willis. I forgot to mention. How can she come up with a RICO charge? That's racketeering. What in the heck is... Yeah, I mean, how can they even get Trump on racketeering other than the fact that it's a Democrat, far-left Marxist, judicial system there. All the jurors are going to be, you know, leftists who are going to go against Trump. So, you know, they already know he's going to be guilty. Unless if she gets disqualified by this Judge McAfee, which I'm kind of wondering about, they say he appears to be kind of a young guy, at least compared to me. And he's new in the position and everything. If he disqualifies her, then it has to go to another, go to another jurisdiction or another venue. And then they would have to take this up and say, yeah, we're going to prosecute these RICO charges. Well, somebody else may say, damn, this is a long reach. You know, this is quite a stretch. You know, to get somebody on RICO charges. I mean, that's an Al Capone type thing that you're looking at. And so, I don't know what's going to happen. Other than it just ties Trump up, his time, his resources, his money, his campaigning, everything. It just continues to tie him up.
Well.
And going on all over the country. It just makes it very difficult for him. But apparently, the more he's gone after by by the Department of Injustice, the people seem to like him and vote for him and contribute to his campaign. So the Democrats may be
energized with confrontation. Trump gets energized with confrontation. He's energized by confrontation. If you follow his career, he is if you're going to get in my face, I want to get in your face. And he is not afraid to stand up and be counted and speak his piece. Or unfortunately, you can't always do that in the courtroom. He's got himself a little bit of trouble from time to time for being too loud. From some of the stuff that I read.
Yeah, but you know,
anger and didn't buy him at all. Of course, anger is already convicted him, and he was already guilty before the trial.
Yeah.
How much money are we going to police so far?
Okay, Bill and Darren, listen. Okay, they can't get him. By the time they get everything together, it's going to be too late. The pundits already talking about that. They can't. He's not going to be down again for this because there's not enough time. The way they put the cases together, and they got to start from ground zero. And they're saying nobody's going to touch this case. No judge or no lawyer or defendant. Nobody's going to touch that case because it's already. If you got something in your closet, they're going to find it. I have a feeling they knew about this ahead of time. Just my opinion. Number two, Francis Wood says we need term limits, and yes, we do, but it'll never happen. Do you guys have any hope? Will it be term limits? They vote for their own, don't they?
Yeah, that's the thing is they're not going to vote themselves out of a job, are they?
No.
I would like to vote them out of a job, but that's another thing that I found out that I find really amusing is if you talk to people, they love and adore their Congress. They want to get rid of all the rest of them, but if you
right.
love them, and get rid of the other guy. You know?
Yeah.
And if the people pressure on them. These guys ain't going to boat themselves out of a job. I mean, they got a pretty cushy deal going.
Yeah, but they're going to live in D.C. So, and you know, oh, by the way, before I went to D.C., there was reports of, like, one of Trump's friends, finance guy, was shot in the head. D.C. is not safe. And then another, somebody else from Congress was attacked as well. So it's getting more dangerous because of the influx of the immigrants, or what do you call it, the illegals.
Yeah.
So this is changing the landscape.
The invaders?
Yes, the invaders. The invaders. What's the Spanish word for invaders?
Big cowboys carrying their flags. They look like they were invading our country to me, I thought.
Yes.
It wasn't like a few smugglers trying to sneak front. And what kind of a person thinks that, hey, I'm going to be a real true American, but in order to do that, I got to wade across the river and climb through barbed wire fences to get in. Is that a logical, reasonable way to say I want to become a citizen of the United States? They don't want to become citizens.
So just want to straighten you guys out for a little bit. It's called invasores, not invaders, because that's what they are. They're new citizens. Invasores. We are invasores. We are taking over. We are taking your hotels, your world-class hotels in New York City, Chicago, all these big cities. They're taking over. They've destroyed so many things, and there's so much crime. Can't ride on the subway anymore. It's just dangerous. I feel bad for the people in New York City. We have one of our radio guys lives in New York City, in the Bronx. I don't think I could do that. I don't know. I really don't. You gotta be. Well, he's an ex-Marine. He's a Marine, so he's good. Marines are always good, right? Marines aren't afraid of anything.
Hey, this old Marine's living in the middle of Florida in a gated community.
Okay.
The only thing I ever thought I'd ever want to do would be to live in a 55-plus community. I didn't
right.
want to live with all those old people.
Right.
And that's not for me. And when I found this condo, it was advertised, and it said, you know, it was used as a rental. And it said it got everything. All you need is your toothbrush and your clothes, and you can move right in. And there's no kids, no pets. And it's gated, and I'm thinking, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe I can manage on this.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it's worked out great for me.
A couple golf courses close by?
Oh, there's a lot of them close by, yeah. I haven't played lately. My back's been bothering me a lot. But what? A lot of our residents, we've got 30 in our community, and most of them have 12 units in each one. I think we've got close to 400 residents. Everybody's playing golf. It's really a great community. And on Monday night, we play bingo, and Tuesday night, it's bridge, and then Wednesday night's euchre. I don't play euchre, so, there's golf. There's several different golf groups that are out all the time. People sign up for it. It's really a good life, but I just hope that we can keep it that way.
Yeah.
For another, if we can, I don't know how long I'm going to last, but I'm figuring 5 or 10 years. If I can make it 5 or 10 years before this whole thing collapses, I'm okay.
Yeah. Hey, okay. I got some breaking news. This is very important. Biden dog commander drew blood with attacks on Secret Service at the White House vacation home. President Biden has given the first dog commander to relatives, so he could bite them, probably, right?
Is that new? I thought that he didn't. He got rid of the dog, or the dog had to leave the White House a little bit ago.
I think they. Okay, yeah, this just came out 51 minutes ago from New York Post.
He's
at it again. He's digging his teeth into other people, the Secret Service. I didn't know they were that close. They're all out for the house or whatever. But they got rid of the dog for now. Maybe the dog's tired of getting sick. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're doing. Anyway, breaking news. Let everybody pray for the Secret Service men. Hopefully, well, they get paid a lot of money too. So. They're all right. They're federal employees. They're good. They got good insurance. Anyway, yeah, you're right about that. Don't know what it's going to be like. Okay, 55. I know they started at 55. So that's interesting. Because I'm 58.
Accomplish their agenda in their different regions. And then
to push that out, not just the legislative branch in general. Now they're pushing it into the legislature. That's what they want to make the first kangaroo work. That has their power brokers within it, and to make decisions that would be the benefit of their agenda, and not brokers of truth, but the brokers of their own agenda.
Right. Absolutely. So Greg Merkel is down there with you somewhere. He's in Florida. Bill.
What?
Greg Merk.
Oh, Merk, yeah. He's on the he's on Rory's panel.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's
not
fairly opinionated.
Yeah, sometimes a little bit too. To me, he and I used to get into like little tiffs. Like that's not how it works. But yeah, I talked to him on the phone because he and I were on the Afghanistan program. He was a pilot when I was in the program office.
Yeah.
Interesting. Same program. Anyway, yeah, he's a great guy, very smart, financial guy. Kind of brings it to reality, but there's some things that, like, he thinks AI, well, we'll get into that. But he has different ideas. I think that's not reality. You can't. So I love the talk, the pushback on that program. It's fantastic. But you would be a great guest on there, Darren. You would be great. You'd be a real. You have to ask Bill to help you get on there. That's a really, really nice one. Really nice one. It's Rory let you on. Yeah.
You on there before, Kevin?
Oh yeah, I've been on there many times. I was on like almost every day of the week. It was going, you know. Because when they went to like 5 days a week, I was like on every show for like 2 or 3 months. I learned a lot, and there's a lot of great people on there, and I'm still friends with a lot of them. But I don't have the time like I used to.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what's going on. He only does this one on Thursday night. I think he's doing one of the nice other stuff where he interviews people.
Yes.
Guests on there. And he's, basically, we had asked if I would come on every now and then. And,
yeah.
It's usually like 15, 20 minutes.
He's got some heavy hitters on there. Yeah. He's got a publicist that brings those people in. Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Me, I like being small potatoes, low key. Because I have friends who are doing the same thing where they're bringing in like, you know, the governor or actors and actresses. But you got to have time. You got to have research. If I was retired, yeah, I would do it. But perfect for me, once a week, simple show with my friends. I love it.
Yeah. Just conversation and so forth, and it's really good. It's pretty much the same way, but every now and then somebody will get on there, and they'll start doing a filibuster. I remember you used to have one guy come on there, and first the guy would talk for like 30
minutes.
Some of the things that they've been talking about had no interest at all, you know, were more of the things and stuff.
I'm gonna share a screen of that actual show I have when I always take screenshots. Here you go. There's Greg. Can you see my screen?
The only guy I recognize on there besides Greg Merk is Matthew.
Matthew J. Yeah, Matthew J. is awesome.
Really? There's some issue there. If he's ill or
I don't know.
He's
a pretty good guy. He does.
He'll show
as well. Yes, he does. Philadelphia, yeah. Cool. That's nostalgia for me, so you know, I love it. So, all right. Can you see this? Yeah, you can see it. Anyway, yeah, that was that's a great experience. I love doing the show. I just don't have the time, you know. And I plus, the one show I do conflicts with my time anyway. So, anyway, Rory's awesome. All those friends on there, you never know who's going to be on there next. That's the thing. It's like, then you see them other places. It's like other places, shows you've probably been on, the same thing. It's like, wow, those guys went to the inauguration to actually have on the show with them kind of thing. Anyway, you got anything else? Okay, 8:17. Anybody have anything you want to end with or any idea?
I just really felt that you said I was finishing up this article and I saw LinkedIn. I thought, wait a minute, I was on at 7. It's a little after 7. Let me get on there right away. So thanks so much for asking me. Yeah, I love talking with you guys all the time. It's just fun for me. I'm afraid sometimes I maybe I talk too much.
No. You're an amateur compared to a lot of people. as far as talkingly, there are people that can talk forever. No, it's a pleasure to have you on. I thought, because I know you're busy with Rory's program, so I thought, so I'm surprised you came on. I thought you were still doing the nightly or the daily. I was very happy to have you on. I like having people who think on their feet, like both of you have like a depth and a lot of experience. So it makes a big difference. Yeah. So Darren's gonna be one of our hosts eventually. We'll get things ready, so on this network.
March, trying to get that challenge from personal and work challenges that I'm working through.
So, yeah, look to Mark, so I'll talk more about this. Get myself set up the right way. Sure. Found a computer instead of my phone. But,
yeah.
It all works. But so tell us about your son's book. Okay. Bill, Darren's son, wrote this book that it forecast things in the future, and he wrote it in 2019. None of this was happening at the time.
Journal of this girl going through the challenges of end time. Okay, and focus on the core of the typical Walking Dead growth, you know, things that have, you kind of, there has those characters in there, and the book is called, interestingly enough, called The Wall, and you buy it on, there's a couple other places to buy it, but you buy it on, I think it might be something like that. But it's a fun read. It has, and he's a good Christian, so he brings Christian concepts into the book while kind of having fun and looking ahead at what happens when the Antichrist comes up, what happens when, you know, the end times are about, you know, or starts, what we would call the tribulation. Started to start.
truly awesome. Man, I'm glad you mentioned that, Darren, because in talking to the first one to talk about the wall, that's really, I love that. It's really that what that book is, it's a dystopia, which I really kind of like the dystopia. That's really the type of thing. So, yeah, really a great way of doing it. That, you know, 1984 was a dystopia.
Yeah. Descriptions are alive in this book. This is a different book than I've ever read. I've read a lot of stuff like this. This is, like, amazing. Anyway, Francis wants to know if it's available to download. I believe it is. I believe it's $4.99 or something. Or unless you belong to the club. But I remember when I bought the book, and there was an option to buy another thing. So I'm pretty sure there is. So, also, it's written under Owen Lee Griggs, if you get that.
Owen
Lee Griggs. He's been on this program, so. Yes, right. But he's got so much insight, and it's just so rich. I have another friend who wrote a zombie book from England, and it's not quite the same. It's like it gets so deep, it's like you're there, and the concepts. I mean, it's, you don't know what's happening. It's not like one thing is played out. It's like it keeps going and going and going and going and escalating. Next thing you know, you're in 2065, and the concept of you and where you can go in the country and what you can do. The restrictions are harder and harder. It's like now, but Richard is 19, but he could see what's going on in the future. That's the amazing thing. But I remember what I thought back then. Yeah. Well, I'll let y'all go. And, oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Francis, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, both of you. I'll return the remainder of the evening to yourselves.
Thanks so much. Hey, guys. Good talking with you.
It's
great. I love it.
Yes. Well, you too, sir. And you too, sir. Have a great evening. I'll probably see you tomorrow. Are you going tomorrow? Yes. Okay. All right. Take care. There you go. And. All right, that was a great show. Yeah, just look for that book. I have it here somewhere. I don't know for it. Anyway, that does it for the show. And thank you for coming in, for joining, and thank you, radio audience. And we will see you again next week at 7 o'clock, probably. Have a good evening. All right. Long talk.